number, I think chapter number 11 is where I'm going to start out. Well, I'm telling you, I'm going to repeat what I said last night. That singing, man, alive. Like my old great uncle used to say, he said, "That's gooder than snuff, not half as dusty." Amen. I mean, Lord of mercy. My, 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 what a blessing. Thank y'all so much for coming. Matthew chapter 11. Lord's been good to us these last couple of days, hasn't he? I appreciate how the Holy Ghost has worked and how he spoke. And I hope and pray. I want to say this. If you wanted something, there was something there for you to have. Amen. And that's for sure. The Bible tells us we're not just supposed to be hearers of the word only. We need to be doers of the word as well. And sometimes we think we want God to do this, this, and this, and he'll do all that, but it might not be until we respond to his word first. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what God's done these last days, and I pray that you'll find your place tonight and what the Lord's got for you. Take your Bible, the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. If you would, stand, stretch your legs a little bit. I want to read to you just a few verses. I made a reference to this last night, and it began to stir in my heart, and so it looks like we're going to go back there tonight. The Bible said this, "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding the 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Well, that was an odd thing there at the last to say, wasn't it? I want to be honest with you, that verse number 6 was a personal pinpointed message back to the prison where John was. Lord, help me tonight. I want to look at this little situation with John. And I guess we could call this John's day of doubt, but really, I believe I would title the message this tonight, I would title it Misplaced Memories. Misplaced Memories. Let's bow our heads, let's pray. Father, we love you tonight and we thank you for the privilege to be in your house. God, thank you for the saints of God that have assembled. God, the fellowship we've had. God, the good family that you've sent our way that's ministered to our hearts. And God, I'm telling you, Lord, I agree with everything I've heard tonight, but I really like that song. I want some things back. And I tell you what, God, I've just determined I'm not going to let some things go. And I pray, God, there'd be a desire rise up among your people to reclaim some things that we have let go. And now, Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Thank you for the visitors you've sent our way. Thank you for, God, thank you for Pleasant Valley. God, I pray that you'd bless this place. God, I pray the Holy Ghost, God, his presence would abide and work here. And God, I'm thankful, God, for what we've experienced the last couple of days. God, we anticipate more from you. We need you tonight. God, we need you. I need you desperately bad. And so, Father, I pray that the Holy Ghost would work and speak and move in our midst. And God, we'll glorify your name, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You'll find in the Word of God that it comes to a place, and I may have made this statement last night, but John ends up in the prison. Now, I want to say this. John's not in prison for illegitimate acts or acts of that would be contrary to the will of God. But John's just taking a stand for Christ. Now, if you would take your Bible and go to the book of John toward the first chapter, and I want to look at a few things there, and I want us to get an understanding of the mindset of John. Now, you know this story, so I'm not going to preach through all this. But in John chapter number 1, verse number 19, we find the beginning where John begins to identify, and the Bible begins to identify and calls this the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Now, there had been rumors stirring around that there was a Messiah coming, and so they see this man John down by the river preaching and baptizing and preaching this Christ, and so they begin to get a little stirred, and so they begin to look and wonder who this was. And so we find that the Bible said this, that John confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ, in verse number 20. And they asked him, they said, what then? Art thou Elias, or saith I am not? Art thou a prophet? And he answered, no. And the Bible said this, verse number 22, and they said unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said this, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. And so he begins to say, I'm not the one you think I am. I'm just the forerunner. I'm the one coming before him. I'm the one that's just here to tell you to make straight the way of the Lord, because the Lord's coming. And I want to make a couple statements right here, but you'll find that over on toward the latter part of this chapter, John begins to make some statements. In verse number 29, the Bible said this, the next day, this when business begins to pick up, John seeth Jesus coming and said unto him, and saith this, the Bible said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John's there by the Jordan, baptizing and doing what he's been called and sent by God to do. And all of a sudden, over the horizon, here coming down the road, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the very first thing he desires to do is to identify Christ for who he is. I want to make a statement tonight. I'm telling you, people may be enamored by your talents and your abilities, and folks may be enamored by your personality and your smooth way of talking. But I want to tell you something. If you and I, as the children of God, if we fail to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, our lives have been a failure of all failures because of what he's done. Bless his name, what he's done in our life. If we fail to point men to the Savior that's made the difference in our life, then we have failed. John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We see John's proclamation in verse number 29. He identifies him as the Lamb of God. But then look in verse number 34. The Bible said this. He said, and I saw and I bear record that this is the Son of God. Not only did he identify him as the Lamb of God, but in verse number 34, he identifies him as the Son of God. Now, I'll say something. A lot of folks, they look at John with his rough exterior and his pretty much straightforward preaching, and maybe he didn't have the most eloquence and the most fine way of delivery. But the fact of the matter is this: John had more doctrinal understanding than a lot of people in the day in which we live. He looked at him and proclaimed him as the Lamb of God. That speaks of his sacrificial position as a deliverer. But then he also identified him as the Son of God, and that speaks of his sovereign position as deity. And I want to say something today. In the day in which we live, there's a real attack on the reality that Jesus Christ was deity. That just simply means this: he was God in the flesh, and he walked among us, and he dwelt among us. There are, and I'll use this word, I don't even like to use the word denomination, but there are cults and groups of people that spread heresies and lies that say that, hey, Jesus was a good man, but he wasn't the God-man. I want to tell you something. If he was not God, then you and I are destined and damned for a place called hell. Amen. I'm telling you, he was God's Son, wrapped in the flesh, 100% God, 100% man. You can't separate them. You can't pull them apart. But the Bible said, yet there was no guile found in him. There was no sin in him. There was no error in him. He was God in the flesh. Amen. John's proclamation as the Lamb of God, deliverer, sacrificial position. And then the Son of God, deity, His sovereign's position. I want to be honest with you, though, after we read Matthew chapter 11, it seems like John's confidence has been shaken just a little bit. We see John's proclamation, but in Matthew chapter number 11, we see John's problem. And John sends two of his disciples over there, and I want you to look at the question that they infer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And said unto him, art thou he? Now this is the same man that's just identified him as the Son of God, the Savior of the world. This is the man who's just identified him as the Lamb of God and as the Son of God. This is the same man. And now he sends two of his disciples. He said, y'all better go over and see. Just check, make sure that's him. And I want to say something. If we're not real careful, it's very easy to lift up a little bit of a critical spirit toward John because of where he's at and what's taking place. But I want to make a statement right here. It's real easy to say what you'll do, but when you get into prison, it's a whole different story. I said this last night. Peter made the statement to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we preached on it for two services, Sunday night and last night. Jesus made the statement to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm ready. Jesus said, you're fixing to be sifted like wheat. Satan's coming after you. He's going to sift you. And Simon just totally disregards everything the Lord said. And Jesus told him that, and he said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee. And this is what he said, to go with thee both into prison and to death. I made this statement last night, and I'm going to recap it again tonight. It was easy for John to say, Lord, if you're going to prison with me, I'll go. But what if he don't go with you to prison? I mean, Jesus is out doing what Jesus has come to do. And Peter's been doing John the Baptist's been doing what God has sent him to do. But he's got locked up for it. I want to say something right here, and you write this down. If you think you're going to do what God's called you to do without any opposition or obstacles coming against you, you ain't going to make it at the fair. Amen. Amen. Can I say something? You say, why? Because you got to understand something. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I was saying this. The church's mentality in the day in which we live, if it's easy, we'll do it. If there's hardship and difficulty, we'll back off. That's the reason why that family sung that song a while ago. That's the reason why churches have laid their Bible aside. That's why they have laid their shouting aside. That's why they have laid the old time way aside. Because it's cost them too much trouble and it's brought them too much grief. Amen. I had a fellow corner me the other day, and he said, Brother Stacey, he said, you could book a whole lot more meetings if you'd back up on a couple doctrines. Amen. And I thought, is this Cracker Jack really having this conversation with me? And I said, well, pray tell, what two doctrines do I need to back up on? He said, well, you need to back up on how hard you are against contemporary music. And he said, you need to back up on how hard you are about qualified preachers. Amen. I said, so you mean I need to go cut them out of my Bible? He said, well, no. He said, just don't be so vocal. I said, I'm not being ugly, but the last 5 minutes of this conversation, I'm probably going to preach on it the next 2 weeks. Amen. And I want to say something. Whenever you're faced with things, and you're standing, and I'm not being ugly, Brother Andy, but when I got people on the front pew shouting me on and saying, go on, brother, that's right, that's true. But what happens when it comes to that desert place, when I've got to make a choice to stand, and I've got to choose to stand? I'm telling you what happened in the life of John. He's going to proclaim, hey, he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. I Emmanuel, deity among us. But now the hardship has come, and I want to say, what happened? And he's lost sight of what he proclaimed at an earlier time. Don't be hard on him. Can I say something? In this community, it's a little community. I've pastored in small communities. I know what it's like. Can I tell you something? You can't live in a small community or pastor a small community that don't everybody know what you're doing. Can I tell you something? I lived in such a small community, we didn't even have a red light. I went to the bank one day. I was working for my father-in-law, and I went to the bank one day to make a deposit. I'd got off work, and I went to the bank to make a deposit. And can I tell you something? And the woman at the bank asked me why I cut my hedges at the house. You say, what? Really, it wasn't none of her business why I cut my hedges. They're my hedges. If I want to cut them, I'll cut them. But you know what I realized? I realized you don't do nothing that everybody don't know. And can I say something? This church ought to be known for something in this community. Amen. Amen. And I want to say something. When you start taking a stand on the Word of God and the things of God, you better mark her down. You're fixing to put yourself in a place where people will identify. Amen. John's problem was this. He misplaced those memories of that day that he stood on the banks of the Jordan River. Don't be hard on him. Don't be hard on him. Because you and I, sometimes we do the very same thing. We'll have some kind of need come up at the house or in our life or with our family. And man, we'll get all distraught and we'll get to, and I'll just go ahead and say it, we'll get to whining and to pining. Amen. Well, God, I try to live for you. I try to serve you. I try to be faithful to you. And why you let this come in my life? I mean, why don't we ever ask God, why not me? Can I tell you something? I could spend hours telling you stories of my own personal life and difficulties and hardships we've gone through through the last few years. We've spent Christmases in the hospital and Thanksgiving in the hospital, anniversaries we've spent in the hospital, my wife sitting next to my hospital bed and me wanting to be able to give her an anniversary gift and didn't even have enough money to pay my light bill. Been there. Know what it is to have to go to your office and shut the door and get on your knees and say, God, we need money for groceries. We got to have groceries in the house. Some folks don't even know what that is. And if you don't, you ought to thank God for that. Amen. But I want to say this. I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't change a difficult day. I wouldn't change it for nothing because it's taught me and it's taught my wife and it's taught my children that God is a God that is sufficient, that He'll supply, that He'll meet your need. But you have to trust Him for it to happen. You have to trust Him. Everybody loves the rainbow, but nobody wants a storm. I'm not being ugly. You'll see a whole lot more pictures of the rainbows than you'll ever see of the storm that brought them. Amen. Amen. Somebody write that down. I'll write a song about that sometime. Amen. John's proclamation, John's problem. The fact of the matter is this. The reality is this. John forgot some things. Sometimes we need to have some things stirred in our heart and in our mind. We need to be reminded of the fact that God's still saving sinners. God's still supplying needs. God's still fixing situations. Let me just go ahead on that supplying needs thing. Can I say this? The Bible said this, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." Can I say something? You and I, whether we'll ever admit it or not, we are loaded with benefits. Do you know what? As a child of God, positionally, I have more than people that are lost and without God will ever have. I was preaching in a church one time over in Missouri, a little town called Perryville, Missouri, and I was preaching on a Sunday for a pastor friend of mine. As a matter of fact, it was the pastor, Brother Andy, it was the pastor that was preaching a revival in our church when I surrendered to preach. He was an evangelist at the time, and he was preaching in our church, but he was gone on a Sunday and asked me to come over and preach for him on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday morning. I was sitting on the pew. I was getting ready to preach. I'd driven over early that morning and got up early and drove, and I was sitting there getting ready to preach. Man, they had done all the church stuff, offerings and this, that, and the other, and they were singing the last congregational. And man, I was sitting there with my Bible in my lap, and I was getting ready to preach. And all of a sudden, it was just a little small church. And you know how it is. You know, when something happens to the back that catches everybody's attention, what does everybody do? And they heard the door open, and they didn't have kind of like a foyer, but when they opened the door, you was right there in the sanctuary. Heard that door open and slam, and boy, everybody turned around. And I'm not making this up. I'm being honest right here. There was a man come walking down the aisle of the church, and the best way I know to describe him, any of y'all ever played Monopoly? He looked like the banker. Little top hat, little suit and vest, little chain hanging out. I mean, looked just like the old banker. And he come hobbling down the aisle. And he come around. I was looking outside my eye. He come around. He got right up in the front and walked right over there where I was at. Got right in front of me. He reached up in his pocket and he pulled out. He had $100 bill in his hand and he throwed it in my face. He said, "Here, it's the only reason you're here anyhow." And he turned around, hobbled back out. Somebody said, "That make you mad?" No, he throw $100 bills at me all day long if he wants to. He's walking out, and I'm telling you, I come back that close looking around saying, "I don't understand. Do it again." Amen. Amen. But what I'm saying is this. I'm saying that man, come to find out, was a multi-millionaire. But he had no happiness. His perception of preachers and the ministry was that we do what we do for money. I thought if he could walk with me for about a month or two, he'd understand we do not do what we do for money. Amen. Amen. You say, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying this. He had what this world. His wife was a member of the church. His wife and his daughter and son-in-law, they go to church. They were embarrassed. They apologized. I felt worse for them than I did for myself. And I took the $100 bill and handed it to his daughter. And I said, "Here, you can give this back to him." She said, "No, put it in your pocket and keep it." I said, "Okay." You unthrowed it in my face. And she said, "Keep it." So I'm keeping it. Amen. And anyhow, his wife looked at me and said, "Brother Stacy," and I ain't got time to tell you the whole story, but it was a sad situation. She said, "I got a call the other day from a bank two counties over. Brother Don and their woman at the bank called, said, it's so-and-so." She said, "He's not here. I don't know where he's at. Don't know when he'll be back." She said, "Well, he needs to contact us. He's got money in our bank over here, and it has grown to the point that it has exceeded the FDIC limit of insurance, and he's got to take some of this money out of this account." And she said, "Well, how much money is it?" And she said, "Well, it's over $250,000. I told my wife, I said, "If the day ever comes that I look at you and say, 'Hey, baby, where'd I put that $250,000? I can't remember." Amen. I said, "Could you? I, my mind can't even wrap around that." And I'm talking about, she said, "That's just one account." But I watched that woman say, born again, child of God, love the Lord. Amen. She stood there with tears dripping on her face. She said, "I'd give it all if he was just saved." I want to say something. You live. There's a mindset, and there's an epidemic in the day in which we live that people have come to this place where they think if having things brings happiness and brings contentment, but it doesn't. I'm afraid I travel across this country, and it's coming down to the end of the year, and December is always. To be honest with you, this is the last revival I'll preach this year, and I've got Sundays booked and stuff like that, but it slows way down. And can I tell you something? In just all sincerity, if you're not real careful, I see people get caught up in the holidays and things like that, and they totally forget who Christ is. Amen. And I'm not, and y'all know me, I've been preaching here long enough, y'all know me, I'm not complaining, but can I tell you something? Out of every month in the entire year, November, December will be the months that all of my support will never come in. Amen. Amen. You say, why? Because people give it all to ho-ho. Amen. My pastor used to get up and he'd say, now listen, he said, pay your tithes and your missions, don't give it all to ho-ho. Amen. My son-in-law is my pastor now, and he's told me the very same thing. He said, our offerings at the church always go down end of November, all of December, and most of the time all through January. Amen. You say, why? Because people lose the reality of what it's all about. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Let me throw some things at you that we need to have our remembrance stirred about. And we don't need to lose the remembrance that we have. Number one, let me say this. You remember over in Matthew 9:18, the story of the rich ruler and his dead daughter? He came to the Lord Jesus Christ with a situation that he couldn't fix. Now, I made a statement earlier, Brother Andrew, I think it was Sunday morning, I identified him as a very desperate individual. Can I say something? And I'm not being hard when I say this, but there's a reason why we're not having revival in the day in which we live, and it's just it because we have chosen to live without it. Amen. Can I say something? That man looked at his dead daughter, and you know what he said? He said, I refuse to live without her. He said, I refuse to live without her. And so what he did at a very detrimental time, I mean, this is the death of his daughter. I'm sure he had a grieving wife. I'm sure there were grandparents that were probably grieving. There were friends and family that were probably grieving. But you know what? He was so determined not to live without her. He said, the only hope and the only help I've got is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you know what he does? He walks off from the whole crowd. He leaves them to go seek God's help and God's intervention to find Christ and to plead with him that he might help his daughter. He was desperate. Can I say this? First of all, we don't need to forget. We don't need to let the memory of the problems in our life that he has solved. Ain't a person under the sound of my voice, if you'd get real good and honest tonight, that you couldn't say there's some things in your life that God fixed that you couldn't fix. Amen. It amazes me how that we'll get so focused. If we got one little situation, we got one little thing that ain't worked out and ain't doing right, we'll lose sight. We'll lose sight of because of this problem he hadn't fixed, we'll lose sight of all the problems that he has fixed. Amen. Number two, let me say this. We need to be stirred in our remembrance about the problems he solved. But then I'll say this, we need to also be settled in our hearts and stirred in our hearts about the path he's chosen. Amen. I want to say something tonight. Your path may not be the easiest path, but if it's God's path, it's the best path. Amen. The Bible said this, I think I quoted this verse the other day. The Bible said this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I mean, the steps of a good man, of a man that's given his life to God, those steps are ordered by the Lord. The Bible said this, and he delighteth in his way. I don't know about you, but there's been a few times my past been a little rough and rocky. Amen. I don't know about you, but there's been a few times that my past been a little painful. Amen. But see, the fact of the matter is this. We think that living for God exempts us from the troubles and the trials and the difficulties that this life bear. And that'd be a wonderful thought if we even had Bible for it. There's not even any Bible for that. Psalms 27 here, these verses I'm quoting to you, he even says this, steps are good men are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. He said, though he fall. He said, sometimes in the God-chosen path of your life, there may be faults and failures that come. You may slip up. You may do something you shouldn't do. You may say something you shouldn't say. You may stumble and you may fall. But he said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. He said, you may fall, but he said this. He said, you may fall down, but you won't never fall out. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just going to go ahead and say this, and you can put it in your pipe and smoke it as far as I'm concerned. I am not going to let a bunch of biblical God deniers that deny the truth that try to take away the fact that I have got security in the Lord Jesus Christ. For I'm persuaded that neither height nor death, and nor life nor death, nor powers or principalities, nor any other thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm secure tonight that I'm secure. He said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. He said, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Amen. We don't need to forget the problems. He solves the path that he's chosen. But let me just go ahead and say this. We don't need to forget the prayers he's answered. I want to say something. You ought to just sit here for a minute and you ought to just think about, well, it's easy to focus on the prayers he hadn't answered. But what about the prayers he has answered? Amen. What about the prayers? We talked about the provisions he's made and we talked about the past and all that. But what about the prayers he has answered? What about those prayers he has answered? Jeremiah 33:3 said this. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee. Can I tell you something? Biggest, and I preach this here, and I'll preach it here again. I'll probably preach it here next year, and the next year, and the next year, and if I ever come back again, the biggest failure at the house of God is prayer. That's our biggest failure. I mean, we've got everything lined out. We've got everything we need to have service. And he said that his house ought to be known as a house of prayer. And that's the one thing we do the least at the house of God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Brother Andy, if I call and ask you to do something, then that means I must know what I need you to do. Because I called. And I asked. The Bible said this, if we call and ask, he'll answer. So that means we know what we stand in need of. Is that right? It's a little Bible lesson right here. Is that right? Amen. But then there's a little word there called a conjunction. And it says, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I believe that verse. Brother Johnny, I believe this. I'll go to my grave believing. I believe that verse is a twofold promise. I believe if we'll trust him with what we do know we need, I believe he said, I'll go ahead and show you the things you don't even know you need. Amen. 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 You say, that don't help me. It will if he ever shows up and does it for you. Amen. Amen. Hey, don't lose sight of who he is. Just remember the prayers that he's answered. Some of you are here today because of somebody's prayers. Songwriter penned it well. Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed their time. They fell down on their knees and prayed for me. They had no doubt that God would bring me out, that he could change my life and set me free. I'm so glad that someone prayed for me. Amen. Problems he solved, the path he's chosen, the prayers he's answered. What about this one? What about the protection he's given? Amen. Can I say something? The reality is this. It's amazing to thank him for what we know that he's protected us from. But I want to say something. There's things that we don't even know that he's protected us from. Eyes of the Lord are in every place. Beholding the evil and the good. Can I tell you something tonight? Can I tell you something? Safety has been mine, and it's been afforded to me. And there's been protection for me that I believe this, that I believe that, that I believe that God Himself and even maybe possibly my guardian angels have protected me from situations. Amen. Yep, I believe that too. Amen. John misplaced a bunch of memories. And it drove him to a place of fear and doubt. And let me just go ahead and say this. I want to say this, and I'm not being ugly, but you'll find this in Matthew 13:58. You'll find this. Jesus, there was a lot of times and a lot of places that Jesus did not many mighty works there for one reason. Because of their unbelief. Amen. Can I tell you something? If you sit around and look at your ability and gauge the ability of God based upon your ability, you'll never see nothing from God. Amen. The problem is solved. The path is chosen. The prayers is answered. Protection is given. Let me just go ahead and say this. Me and the preacher was talking about this today. What about the promises He's made? I want to say this. I'm thankful for the promises in the past that I can look and say I've seen God fulfill.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But what about the promises that walk with me and I gleaned from today, Brother Sam? What about the promises this that today I can say this, but my God shall supply all my need? What about the promise today that I can live from and say He'll never leave me? And I want to say something. If there's anybody, Brother Wendell, that's given Him the right, I've given Him the right to walk away time and time and time again, but He's never left me. He could have washed His hands. He had the right to wash His hands of me multiple times. But He never has. You say, why hadn't He done it, preacher? Because He promised He wouldn't. Amen. I read something today. When it talked about that woman who was brought, taken in the act of adultery. And it said this. It said the only one who had the right to throw stones didn't. Let that sink in. Let me say this right here. Thank God for the promises He's made. Let me say this. I'm done. Can I say this? Thank God. Don't lose sight of the problems He's solved, the path He's chosen, the prayers He's answered, the protection He's given, the promises He's made. But then I'll say this. If all that stuff was never ours to be a partaker of, there's one thing that He's done for us that ought to cause us, Brother Sam, to never doubt Him. And that's the price that He's paid. The Bible said this, and very simple, and you know this verse. Bible said this, 1 Corinthians 6:20, said, for ye are bought with a price. Can I say something? Can I say something this evening? If my faith never wavered over the one fact that He paid a price that I could not pay. What was this? I can't even remember the song, but it talks about He paid a price that I could not pay, and He paid a price that He did not owe. But He paid it anyhow. I want to say something tonight. There will be times in your life. There will be those prison experiences. There will be times when you'll feel like the bars have been slammed in your face, where everybody's walked off. All your confidence, the things you've had confidence in, has let you down. But don't let your faith be shaken. If nothing else, He's proved His love to us by the price that He paid for us. Can I say something? I've heard people say, well, I don't understand why God would save him, or I don't understand why God would save her. Can I say something? I don't understand why God would save me. Have you ever stopped to think the day He saved me, in His mind, He knew every failure I'd ever fail. He knew every time I'd ever stumble. He knew every time that I would have an opportunity to praise His name or to testify of His name or to promote His name, that I would keep my mouth silent. He knew all of that. But still, the Holy Ghost drew me unto Him, and He still saved me anyhow. Years ago, I heard this song, and it said something like this: I don't understand why He loves me. And I don't understand why He loves me. Because I've given Him enough reasons not to. Amen. misplaced memories. I want to say something to you tonight. Don't lose sight of what God has done. Because, and don't lose sight because of what He hasn't done. And lose sight of what He has done. Amen. John's day of doubt. John's day of doubt brought him to a place. Can I say something? I didn't deal with this, but let me just go ahead and say it. Look back there. Look back there, if you would, in Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. Jesus, and I want to say this. Don't you appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible said Jesus answered. He didn't say, go tell John I'm dissatisfied and displeased with him and what a shame and what a joke he is. And he never said a word. He said, just go show John again. He said, just go remind him. He said, just go remind him. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. The deaf are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And he said this. He said, go ahead and tell him this too. He said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. If you'll take just a real simple dictionary, and I use an 1828 Noah Webster dictionary, and if you'll look that word up, offended, it doesn't carry the connotation that you and I would think of the word offended. But it carries a very simple definition, and it means this, it means displeased. John got locked up in prison and Jesus was free. And what Jesus said this, he said, John, you're displeased with my plan. And can I say something? If you and I aren't careful, if God don't do it our way, it's real easy to get displeased. If God don't do it how we want it and the way we think it ought to be done. And basically that's what happened to John. John said, you know, he's out free. I'm locked up. And I'm locked up for just doing what I was supposed to do. Can I tell you something? And I'm going to say this. And I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to you from experience. It's very easy. And I must go ahead and be real transparent right here. I've been there. I've been there when I've sat inside my house for a month at a time, wanting to get back to a pulpit and preach, wanting to get behind a piano and sing, wanting to sit down with a pen and a piece of paper and write my next song. I've wanted to do all that, Brother Sam, but I couldn't. And I got real displeased with the Lord. Brother Don, even to the point, I'm ashamed. I said, why pray? Why even try? It's where it's got me. Why even try? God in His faithfulness and His mercy, He let me pine and whine. And He let me get old stiff-necked and hard-hearted. When I about filled my cup full of it, He'd say, all right. It's time to quit acting foolish. And He'd take me back down memory's lane. And remind me of all the prayers He's answered. All the things He's let me done. All the places He let me go. All the things He let me do. And I found myself, my face buried in the couch or in a chair somewhere, having to say, God, I'm sorry. Cecil, maybe it might be the reason why I don't look at John as such a bad fella. Misplaced memories. Don't you let the devil rob from you what God can and does want to do with you, because He's got you focused on what He has not already done that you want Him to. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Church, I love you tonight. I preach my heart to you. These altars are open if you need to come. Father, I love you. And God, I preach my heart to these people. And God, you know how often I've been offended or displeased. But God, in your grace and in your mercy, you've forgiven me and you've helped me. So God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll help somebody to rise up from that place of defeat and discouragement to go on and serve you, no matter what it costs, no matter what it takes. I ask it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. These altars are open. Now there's a voice calling me, the Christ of Calvary. My Lord whispers, draw closer to me. Leave this world far behind. There are new heights to climb and a new place in me. To draw me closer to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. Whatever it takes for me to be like you, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. Lord, I'll trade sunshine into rain. Lord, comfort for pain. Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. I'll be willing to do. Lord, you can take the dearest things from me. If that's how that it must be. You see, Lord, I'm placing my whole life in your hands. And if you call me someday to a land that's far away, Lord, I'll go and your will obey. For whatever it takes.